What we're going to do, people who've been in my life group will be familiar with this game because I've done it before. I'm going to split you up into three teams. So we'll have a team over here, a team in the middle, and then a team at this side as well. And I'm going to ask for four willing volunteers, hopefully willing, from each team to come up to the front. You're going to be given a box of Lego. Here we go. Like this. And I will give you an item that I would like you to build. Your team then needs to guess what it is. So most of the items are taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but there is a bit of a wild card in there as well. Okay. So if I could have four people from each team, please, to come up. Right, okay, how are we doing? We've got four over here. Oh, I like the preparation, getting the Lego out. Brilliant. Right. Okay, what I'm going to do is show you. I'm going to get one person from each team to come and have a look at the item that I'd like you to build. So if I could have one person, thank you. Right. Can you see? Yep. Okay. Off you go. Have a go building. And I'd like the teams to shout out, if you can see, I know it's a bit tricky, what you think it is they could be building with the Lego. Oh, we're getting close over here. Oh, you've got it. Well done. 1 point over here. So we were trying to build brothers. Okay. If I could have another member of each team, please. Okay, we've done that one.
Can I shout it out?
No, you're not allowed to shout it out. Turn that one. Have a go at shouting out what you think it could be. We're on the right track over here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well done, that was meant to be a sock. Okay, if I could have another member of each team, please. Oh, these are looking interesting. Oh, very good.
Yes!
Well done. Brilliant. Okay. And we're now on the last one. That's one all, so this is going to be the tiebreaker.
Oh, come on.
This one's a little tricky.
Yes.
Oh, well done. So we've got our winning team over here. Well done. So the last one was the church. No, it was God. Yeah. I can tidy it up after, yeah. Thank you. So I think a big round of applause for our teams. Well done, everybody. Lovely. And now we're going to actually move on to 1 Thessalonians 2. Okay, so Tamsin, if you'd like to come up, please. Thank you.
For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been treated shamefully at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from God, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not only as the word of men, but also what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in all you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the church of God in Christ Jesus, that is in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavoured the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you again, I, Paul, and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to just take a look now at this second chapter of Thessalonians. So I'm going to start off, again, just with a little bit of context, sort of building on where Matt started last week. And then there's three key points to this chapter. So the first is where Paul reminds the Thessalonians of his preaching and behaviour when he was with them previously. The second is where Paul talks about how the Thessalonians received the gospel as the word of God and the power that there is in that. And then finally, Paul moves on to talk about the joy that the Thessalonians have brought to him. Okay. So Matt did his wonderful film thing last week, which we all enjoyed. And he was talking about how in Thessalonica, the Gentiles were fairly new believers and they were in a time where there was actually a lot of conflict and persecution. So Thessalonica at the time was the capital of Roman Macedonia, so it was a really important city, which was a port city on a lot of trade routes as well. Paul visited Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, but he was forced to flee because of Jewish opposition at the time, and he then sent Timothy to work with them. And it's believed that Thessalonians is one of the first letters that Paul had written. Okay, so first of all, Paul starts off by reminding the Thessalonians of how he had behaved when he was with them before. So he gives the context of how dangerous it was to preach the gospel at the time. So his first visit to them is recorded in Acts 17. And the Thessalonians knew that Paul had been imprisoned in Philippi before he then came to them. And in verse 2, it says, "As you know, we have boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." So although Paul knew that he would face persecution, he continued to share that good news, and he had that boldness and that courage from God. And it wasn't just like a reckless impulsiveness that he was going out on a limb and putting his life on the line, but it was more of a courage and a confidence to confront that fear and continue to do the right thing. And there's going to be a reflection time at the end, and one of the questions that I'm going to ask you to think about is, how can we be more bold? How can we follow Paul's example of having that courage and stepping out? And you know, we don't really face the same levels of persecution at all that was happening at the time there, but just seeing what ways we can have that boldness in our own lives. Paul also made it very clear that he wasn't preaching to make himself look good. So he very pointedly states that, like, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive." So some commentators believe that he's making this real clear statement because at the time the Jewish leaders were stirring up the crowds, trying to stir them up really against Christianity. So he's making this bold statement of, "Look, it's not about me, it's about God." And then he also makes it clear that his aim is to please God, not to please people. So he says, "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." And I think this is really interesting because I know it can be tempting when we're trying to talk about Jesus to try and soften it a bit or like make it a bit more palatable. But actually, Paul didn't do that. He stuck to the truth of the gospel. But what he did do is slightly change his methods depending on who he was talking to. And I think there's a real example there that we can think about. Yeah. Okay, so you're continuing to look at the first part of the chapter. Paul then goes on to describe how he behaved towards the Thessalonians, on one hand like a mother, but then on the other hand like a father. So in verse 5-7, he says, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." So in some versions, they take gentle and they've put infants instead, and that kind of stresses the honest, straightforward way in presenting the gospel that Paul took. And I thought it was interesting that Zoe had mentioned coming like children this morning, because it's not coming with any pretense, just coming as who we are, being straightforward. Yeah. One commentator said that, like, this characteristic of a nursing mother, the mildness and tenderness, reflects how gracious God is with us. And the tenderness that he shows towards us, that loving care. And Matthew Henry stated that this is the way to win people, the way to kind of show our love towards them to non-Christians. Okay. And then, like a father, I thought it was really interesting that they've got both of these aspects of the mother and the father. So verse 11 to 12 says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So I think, again, we've got an example here from Paul in the way that he was with the Thessalonians that we can follow as well, trying to replicate like being like a mother and like a father with people in church, and especially new Christians. So there's that encouragement there, and challenge as well. Yeah, so there's another question that I'm going to ask you to reflect on, which is, what do people have got? What do people think about God from watching us? Is there anything in our lives that we need to tweak or ask God to change so that we more reflect his glory? Okay. Moving on to the second part, we've got receiving the gospel as the word of God. So verse 13 states, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." So it's, I think Paul, again, is highlighting the power of God's word, that it's not just a book or a set of documents, but a real source of power. And that when we receive the word of God, we should think about how holy it is, the wisdom that's within it, the truth and the goodness as well. And like, the words of people will fail, but the word of God is steadfast and will always remain. And after this part in the chapter, there's quite a hefty section about the Jews and about the persecution that they'd been carrying out on Christians at the time. And I thought that was really interesting to look into. So here Paul wasn't talking about like all Jews, but certain Jews who were opposing the good news. And many of Paul's converts were Jewish, and Paul himself was Jewish too. So I think that shows the amazing grace that God has, that although there were Jews still carrying out the persecution, that God just did a U-turn on so many people's lives. At the time, there was quite a lot of kind of conflict between the Jews and Christians, and Christianity was seen as a Jewish sect. So the Jews were worried that the Roman state would carry out reprisals against them as well as Christians. So if the Romans decided, oh, they don't like these Christian groups, that they'll like include all of the Jews in that as well. And many of the Jewish leaders believed that Jesus was a false prophet. They didn't want his teaching to spread. And they also feared that their own political position would weaken if more Jews became Christians. I just thought it was interesting to look into that a bit more, because Paul is so, it's quite angry really in the way that he writes against the Jews there. Okay. And then moving on to the final part, we've got the joy that the Thessalonians brought to Paul. So Paul was, at the end he talks about that joy that they bring him, and that is what it's all about for him. It wasn't about prestige or building himself up, but it was about seeing new believers whose lives were transformed for God. And again, I think that's something that when we're serving in church, we can see that as our main aim, is seeing lives transformed. So we're going to move on to a reflection. So there's a couple of questions that I've popped up for us to think about, and I've got some paper and pens that I'll bring round. So we've got, how can we be more bold in sharing Jesus with others? What do people think of God from watching us? And is there anything less than worthy of God in our daily lives? Do we fully understand the power of God's word? And how does this impact the way we approach reading the Bible, and I guess how the Bible impacts our lives as well. So I'll bring the paper and pens around for you to have a little think about that. Okay, I'm just going to pray now, but there will be more time for you to think about this passage in life groups, if you're connected to a life group, and time during the week as well. I just thought it would be good for you to have that paper to take away with you and mull over a bit. Okay. Lord, we thank you that that you give us your word, which is so powerful, and that changes lives and makes a real impact. And thank you that we can see you changing hearts and lives around us every day. And I just pray that you will give us the boldness and the courage to step out in situations that may present us with like conflict and difficulties, and help us to get you as our number one priority as well, that we're living and working to honour you, not to please people or do things that they would like to see us doing, but they were doing what you want us to do, Lord God. Yeah. Amen. Okay, I'll hand over to Zoe now.
Hello, everyone. I'm just here to tell you a little thing that the Justice Group has been picking up on for over the summer. Some of you will know that we've started a Justice Group looking at justice issues around the world and closer to home. And one of the things that was brought to our attention for this summer is a campaign called Justice Matters. So just the title of it kind of appealed to us straight away. Some of you might have noticed a little display at the back. But just to kind of give you a little summary, and we'll kind of give you some little bits of information every Sunday for the next few weeks. But it's basically a campaign which is being organised by Tradecraft alongside some other charities as well. And it's a recognition that justice matters in trade and in business. And rightly, the UK and other Western countries' investment in third world countries and developing countries is really helpful, and it's much more than we send in aid, and that is a good thing that we're investing in developing countries around the world. But there are a few irresponsible British companies who are abusing or exploiting people abroad in the way that they do business abroad. And unfortunately, although in this country we have laws in place that stop British companies abusing people who are in Britain, which is right, there are not any laws that protect people in other countries from being exploited by British companies. And we wouldn't put up with that, would we? And so we shouldn't put up with it happening around the world. So we're going to tell you some stories about how that happens a bit more on some other Sundays. But for today, we just want to let you know that what it is it's a petition, and it takes 1 minute to sign your name to say that what we want is for British the government to put in place a law and some laws that will prevent British companies from exploiting people in developing countries in the way that they do business, so that justice comes before greed and before making money. So we'd really like you to consider whether you would be able to sign that petition over the summer. There's pens, there's the petition at the back, there's loads more information, and there'll be more information coming up over the next few Sundays as well. Just consider whether you could just go and sign that. It'll take 1 minute. Okay. Tam's another question.
So if you want to find out a bit more about that, talk to Zoe, talk to people who are connected with the Justice Group. We want to be able to make a difference. There's obviously there's a big old world with lots of things that we'd like to maybe do, but we feel that actually it's good to target some certain areas, and this is the thing that Zoe and Roanne and the rest of the people who are connected to the Justice Group want to do with us. Why don't we thank Rachel for speaking to us this morning. Lots for us to think about, and of course it feels, I don't know about you, but it feels like I've just had a bit of a taste, or I need to go away and do some extra thinking this week. And of course we can do that if you're connected to, as Rachel said, to our life groups. And we're going to draw a line there. We're going to finish our meeting, but please do feel free to stay around and connect. Don't forget your information on the notice sheet. Next Sunday morning, we'll start again with breakfast at 10:15. It's bacon sandwiches, if that's good, and of course, something suitable for vegetarians. I think that's just sandwiches. And next week, there's an opportunity as well to spend some time together afterwards. Those of us who are around who would like to, we'll picnic together on Kingsway Park, which is in Kirkby. If you're not familiar, we can point you in that direction. We just believe it's a great opportunity to hang out, make some new friends, get to know some people a bit better as part of Ashwood family. God bless you. Have a fantastic week, whatever you're up to. And we look forward to seeing you again very soon.